Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's talk about mountaintop experience. Please be seated. Back in the 1990s, my family and I traveled to the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. And we spent some time in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we entered the Comedy Barn, where I was completely humiliated in front of 2,000 people because my boys got me to go on stage. There is a film available for blackmail at $500 a piece if you're interested, but I have the last copy. No, that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about mountaintop experience. And when we got to Gatlinburg, I just wanted to get up that mountain. And when we got to the base of it, I looked up and I said, until hell freezes over, there's no way I'm going to climb this mountain. Did anyone remember the song from the Sound of Music? Climb every mountain. No way, Lord, this isn't going to happen. Then we went around the corner, and there God blessed us with a thing called a cable tram car. And that big car clipped on the cable and up it went that mountain very nicely. And we went up hundreds and thousands of feet to the top of that mountain. And when we got off, you could see the beauty of these trees and the lakes. You can see all the pathways that people were taking, and if there was snow there, there would have been skiing going down the hill, but that's the way to go. Take a cable car to the top. How many of you have been on a mountain and climbed that thing? Okay. How many of you made it to the top? How many of you are over the age of 50? How many of you made it to the top? No one. Okay. See, climbing a mountain is for all ages. And it's not easy. How many of you, when you get to a certain place, you're out of breath, and when you turn around, you're enjoying the beauty around you, but then you're looking up and saying, man, I don't know if I go all the way to the top. It's much easier to go down a mountain than top. That's one thing I hated about skiing. Going down the hill was one thing. But then you had to go back up. My last ski trip with the youth was, I left a very strong impact. When I went down the hill, they had the one side of the place with a sign saying, do not take this way, because the snow was all ice. There was no fluff. Well, I couldn't get my skis to go to the left, so I ended up going down that frozen, ice-filled hill, screaming all the way down the hill. And here come this yellow guard flexible material to stop a person coming down the hill. And instead of taking it, I decided to jump it and went over that yellow screen fencing into the parking lot and slamming into the side of a van at full force, leaving an impact of my body around that van. That was the last time a 300-pound pastor skied with our youth group. That was a mountaintop experience. Oh, the kids laughed. Oh, Pastor, you okay? Yeah, now you ask me. But I had to wait an hour and a half for the owner of that van to push the siding of his van back. At least I didn't damage it. But he popped it back out, and that was a great experience. One of the ski trips that we made up in a mountain, our youth filled up my boots with water and snow and stuck it outside overnight. So the next morning when I was looking for my boots, I said, where are they? And the kid says, oh, we saw your boots outside. And there in the middle of the driveway were my boots, frozen, solid with ice and snow. So the following evening, I turned the power off on their side of the cabin, and they were all late for breakfast. Don't mess with a 300-pound pastor. That was another mountaintop experience. But there are a lot of other mountaintop experiences. One of my favorite experiences was in Fredericksburg, Texas, Enchanted Rock. Everybody would go to this German community and just climb this rock. Why? Because it was there. But boy, when you got to the top of the mountain, oh, the beauty of what you saw. Anybody ever been down there before? Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. Well, as I was going through the scriptures, there's a lot of mountaintop experiences. One of them was Abraham and Isaac, where they went up the mountains to sacrifice. And Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, but God blessed him with a ram. You remember that one? And then there was the mountaintop experience where Moses received the Ten Commandments on top of the mountain. And then, of course, Mount Calvary in the New Testament, where Jesus went up the mountain to suffer and die on the cross for you and for me. And then, of course, there is Mount Sinai, the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God in heaven with him. That's our journey right now. We're all on a journey up the mountain. I want to review for you what we just learned in our first reading. So open up your bulletins and take a look at Isaiah again. The prophet was trying to say, hey, we have this mountain. And this mountain is called a place of refuge and a place of strength. If an enemy was coming after you, you want to be on top of the mountain, not at the bottom, because you have the advantage of looking down. And a mountain was understood as the dwelling place of God, the highest place. And this is where the voices of the prophets were speaking about the authority of God's word. Do you know what the mountaintop experience was up until the 1960s? The church. The church is where the family gathered together regularly. This was the main focus of the community. It was a family church back then. But today there's travel teams and sports on a Sunday. Hobbies that take us away from worship. And so it's not as important that it once was. What has happened to the mountaintop experience that God plans around his word and sacraments? Nevertheless, the prophet Isaiah was saying, God is our judge. Beware, you need to repent of your sins. And this is the mountain place where we can walk along the path that Jesus already did for us. How many of you got lost on the mountain following a path? How many of you had tripped on a path? I not only went down the hill, but I fell into a whole bunch of thorns and thickets and what are those little burr things that connect to all of your clothes? I was a mess. Have any of you ever ran into one of those? That was not a fun mountaintop experience. But Jesus followed the path that was kind of rough for us that led to Mount Calvary. But yet, he provided the way so we could have peace. And on this mountain where we are sitting today, what are we facing? We're facing the cross of Jesus. This is our mountaintop experience, baptism. This is our mountaintop experience, the Lord's Supper. Our mountain experience is God's word. And notice what it says about Isaiah. The prophet said, it shall come to pass that in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Who is the highest of the mountains? Jesus. The prophet's talking about Jesus. And in chapter 2, we hear that the prophet saw what would eventually happen to Jerusalem. They're going to kill the Christ. But yet the mountain of the Lord is not only associated with the coming of Christ, but this is where the preaching of the gospel takes place. This is why the pulpit is always up higher. Oh, I didn't know that. This is where God's word is spoken. It's the highest place where we can find where life matters. Life doesn't matter because you're white or because you're black. Life matters because of Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. Because he's above everything. Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. Look at what Isaiah says. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that I may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his path. Notice what he said. Many people, many nations will come. Not all. That means there are some unbelievers. You see, God tells Isaiah that not all people will come to the mountain because not everybody believes in him. Why are not all people on the mountain of the Lord? Because they're on their own mountain. Look at me. Look what I've done. Why do you think I retired working with teenagers for 25 years? The mountaintop experiences of going with them skiing and mountain climbing and whitewater river rafting. And the youth were worried. I must say our youth was worried about me one time because how many of you ever went whitewater river rafting before? How many ever attempted to go underneath a big branch that had gone into the river? I decided to go under it, but it was like a cork. And I stayed there. And water kept going over me, and I kept gasping. And I was by myself. Everybody else was already down. And fortunately, another youth group was right behind me. And the canoe hit me on the back of the head and pushed me out from underneath that branch to safety. That's why I go like this sometimes when I preach. But that's not what happened. It was a mountaintop experience, but it was painful. Jesus says our mountaintop experience isn't always going to be smooth and peaceful. The path isn't always going to be smooth and straight. It's going to be narrow. It's going to be rough. You see, some people don't like Jesus as their mountaintop experience. They think they can get to heaven by their own good works and their own merits. Ain't going to happen. You see, they see Jesus' mountain as too difficult, too tiresome, too much suffering and pain that we don't understand sometimes. They think that they can reach the height of a mountain by their lifeline. How many of you have ever went climbing on a rock using rope on the side of a cliff? That's scary. When the youth invited me to go with them, I said, no, there's not enough rope that could hold me. And I wanted to live just a little longer. But I supervised. I waited for them at the top of the mountain as they went up the side of that mountain. I was very proud of them. And it was really kind of an interesting mountaintop experience where there was one girl that just struggled to get up that mountainside. And she pleaded for help. And so we gave her another lifeline and she wrapped it around her and we were able to pull her up without a problem. She was so thankful and I said, you made it on top of the mountain with the help of God. Even though we were there, we loved her and cared for her and went back for her. But But Jesus tells us something else about a mountaintop experience. In John chapter 6, some people were with Jesus until he announced, by the way, folks, I'm the Son of God. I'm God. And then crowds of people left Jesus, leaving the 12. And Jesus asked the 12, do you want to go away as well? And it was Simon Peter who had this mountaintop experience, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. How many of you have ever went on a toboggan ride down a mountain or hill? Okay? I don't know why, but our youth always wanted to be near the woods. They had no problem going between trees, but when I was on the toboggan, they put me in the front because you go faster when you're the heavy person. But when we headed for this tree, you can't steer a toboggan very well, can you? So we headed for that tree, and it stopped everybody. It stood me straight up, and it cracked two ribs in my side from that experience. The kids were saying, are you okay? I said, yes. But once again, this will be the last time I go on a toboggan ride. But you know what? I went again. And as long as I knew which direction I was going and that I was the one doing the steering in the back, we never hit a tree after that. But that reminded me of how you're supposed to go through that mountain of life. You don't do the steering. You don't do the guiding. You don't do the leading. The Holy Spirit does that. And you know what? The greatest promise of the Heavenly Father was the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, who climbed the Mount Calvary for you and for me to conquer what three things? Sin, death, and Satan. And that's what the prophet meant when he said, he shall be lifted up. He was prophesying that Jesus would be put on a pole to be crucified. Like Jesus told his disciples, like Moses put the serpent on a stick, that they're going to put me on the cross too. That's because I love you. I want to take away your sins for you. I want you to have this mountaintop experience of called forgiveness and grace. But that's not enough. There's more. Dear brothers and sisters, our eternal reward, the reason why we're all on this mountain right now, is that there's a mountain called Zion. Heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, we are already enjoying the benefits of this path. It's not easy, but we could pray every day that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in His word and sacrament. And by God's grace and mercy, we can walk in those paths going up that mountain that He has made for us to follow. Because those paths are just like following a light. Has any of you ever went caving in a mountain before? When we had a person taking us through there, he turned the light off. You cannot even see the hand in front of your face. It is black. But when he lit a candle, you could see this room about the size of this place just lit up with one little candle. There's another mountaintop experience. You know what it is? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. You, while you're on that mountain, are to go and tell people about the mountain called Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord. And the process of going up His mountain can be best understood by my favorite in Tennessee. He is my cable line. Though I'm not strong enough to go up a mountain anymore, He is my lifeline that leads me to the top. And He did that because of His love for me. He is my rock. He is my Redeemer. He is our lifeline that draws us up to the Heavenly Father so we can experience healing and the calling of his mercy and grace. I want to close with this final thought from the prophet Isaiah. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Continue to walk in the path that Jesus laid out for you. Not what the world says, not what the flesh says, not what you say, but what God's word says. Thy word is a light unto my path. The word is our path we are to take up the mountain of Christ. And the psalmist says, for there the Lord has commanded us a blessing. What is that blessing? Life forever on the mountaintop of Zion. And someday we're all going to be there and you don't have to ski back down. That's what I'm thankful for. Because I get to stay up in heaven for all eternity on Mount Zion. And through Christ Jesus, so do you. And all God's people say, amen. May the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.